Well, friends, we read from Mark chapter 10, the healing of this blind man. And this healing is unique in the New Testament, not only for its warmth and tone, but more particularly for the fact that this is the only person healed by the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels whose actual name is recorded, Bartimaeus. And also we are given the name of his father, Timaeus. It's as though by the time Mark wrote his gospel, this family were well-known members of the Jerusalem church. And Bartimaeus didn't tire of recounting the offense of that never-forgotten day when he first saw the Lord Jesus Christ. This is actually the last miracle of healing in Mark's gospel. In fact, the writer records just one more sign of Jesus, and that was the sign that we looked at this morning, the cursing of the fig tree. Now, we are told that this event took place in the beautiful city of Jericho. Beautiful because at this time, the city had been refurbished by Herod. And Herod had made that the site of his magnificent winter palace. Jericho at this time was called the City of Roses. It was a beautiful place. And it lay some 18 miles northeast of Jerusalem. Now we're told that Bartimaeus was blind and he's sitting begging. What a combination of troubles. Man who's blind, and he's begging. He's not partially sighted. The man is totally blind. You know, when his mother smiled a smile of encouragement, he couldn't see it. He could not glimpse the maternal love etched on her face. When the pavement was fouled with the mess of animals, he couldn't see it to step over it or around it. He couldn't see the ditch or the low-hanging branch. When the night sky above Jericho was ablaze with a million stars, his eyes couldn't see it. It was all darkness to him. The beauty of a glorious sunrise, or the magnificence of a marvelous sunset, was lost on him. The beauty of birds, the beauty of the flowers, the beauty of the rainbow, was all lost on Bartimaeus. His world was a world of darkness. And friends, this is the world that you and I live in. The New Testament tells us that this world is occupied by men and women who don't know the living God. And that's the world that some of us, you and I Christians, used to live in. We used to live in a world that was full of darkness, spiritual darkness. You know, people used to tell us one time about the beauties of the Savior. We couldn't see it, but we can see it now. And there's some of you in this gathering tonight. And I'm going to speak to you about the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're spiritually blind. You can't see it. I could turn to Matthew chapter 5 and begin to read to you the Sermon on the Mount. And to you, it will only be focals to your ear. You cannot see the loveliness of those sentences. Tell you that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And you're blinded to the beautiful promise of that most well-known verse of Scripture. Bring you to church, and whereas you are aware of men speaking and people singing, Maybe you shrug and you don't see the point of it all. You're blinded because the god of this world, Satan, has fastened a thick, secure blindfold around your eyes. And you see nothing of the glories of the living Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us, that without Christ, we are all blind. Some of us, as I say, have had the scales removed from our eyes. And we see the beauty of those things that we once thought were very strange to us. Once we were in the kingdom of darkness, but God had grace upon us and He convicted us of our sin. He led us to the cross. We saw what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross and dying for us and taking our punishment. And we were translated when we repented of our sin. We were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And the great question this evening, congregation, is this. The great question is this. What kingdom are you living in? Are you still living in the kingdom of darkness? Are you still blind to these things? Or have you been translated into the kingdom of God's glorious light? The world of the blind under the sway of God of this world and able to see God's glory all around them, is that the world that you continue to live in? You don't see the loveliness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, I pray that tonight God, through the Holy Spirit, would speak to your heart and give you a sight of the Savior. That this would be, as you have just been singing, a happy day. Because this is the day that fixed your choice on Jesus Christ. But Bartimaeus wasn't only blind, was he? He was poor. You know, friends, there have always been those born blind whom Providence has put in lovingly affluent homes, where their parents have loved them and cared for them and encouraged them and give them an education so that they have been able to reach the highest positions of responsibility. You know, David Blunkett, on up until a few years ago, was a member of the cabinet. And David Blunkett, as many of you know, is blind. And you don't see David Blunkett sitting in Oxford Street begging, do you? Because, you know, he's been given that education from his loving parents or whatever. But Bartimaeus, here we read of this man, and he's a pauper. And he's sitting begging there in the streets of Jericho. And he has to beg for pennies in order to etch out a little living for himself. And again, friends, that's how the New Testament describes all those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only spiritually blind, but also spiritually impoverished, spiritually poor. Revelation 3:17, it's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the church, but His words can equally be applied to those here without Christ, because He says, you do not know that you are wretched and you are miserable, you're poor, you're blind and you're naked. That is your state spiritually without the Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Bartimaeus was blind and he was poor. But also, do you see how this man was marginalized? He was sidelined. He sat by the side off the road. Bartimaeus is not involved in running the affairs of Jericho. He's not involved in the local PTA. He's not running for office in local government. He's not sitting with the elders at the gate, hearing disputes and passing on words of wisdom. He's an outsider. He's sitting by the side of the road. He's marginalized. And so are you, my friend. If you're here this evening without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're outside the kingdom of God, you are also marginalized. You know, over the summer months within the church, wasn't there so many things going on? You know, you had your holiday Bible club. And there was the house party. Some of you young people, you went on various camps and missions. There's been conferences. But you know, if you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been marginalized from it all. Some of you are here this evening, and you live in an unreal world. Not all real world of soap operas and tabloid newspapers and glossy magazines. And in that unreal world you will live, and in that real world you will eventually die unless you repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the reality is this, that if you die in your sins, then you will be confronted with the reality of the living God. You will be confronted with the reality of judgment. You will be confronted with the reality of speaking to the one who is perhaps pricking your conscience tonight if he is graciously answering our prayers. And friends, have you seen this? That if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you're spiritually blind. You're spiritually poor. And you're marginalized. That's your condition. You're just like blind Bartimaeus sitting here at the gates of Jericho almost 2,000 years ago. Your plight spiritually is exactly the same. But notice also something about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was not a moron. He wasn't stupid. You know, handicapped people can get treated sometimes as if they're simpletons, when in fact they are maybe intellectually much brighter and more on the ball than most of us. You know how sometimes people can talk down to a person in a wheelchair or talk through them via somebody else? You know, the most important thing about Bartimaeus was that he was a man who had been created in the image of God, and he could think, and he could reason, and he could rationalize. Even though all the faculties had been damaged by sin, as they have in all of us, yet he had heard about Jesus of Nazareth. You say, well, how had he heard about Jesus of Nazareth? Well, wouldn't the preaching of Jesus have been a talking point in many of those towns and villages? This is 3 years into the ministry of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't the signs and the wonders that Jesus had performed in Israel would not have been a talking point at every well and in every marketplace throughout the region? And surely, friends, Bartimaeus, with his keen sense of hearing, would have heard people talking. And he would have thought about what he picked up in conversation. And he would have thought about the things that he heard in a way that the rulers of Israel never did. He witnessed none of our Savior's mighty miracles. He didn't have the opportunity to talk with the widow of Nain or with Jairus about his daughter. Didn't have the opportunity to talk to Mary and Martha. He had never seen any of the lepers healed. All such privileges his blindness had totally deprived him of. But friends, his ears were opened, and the wheels of his mind turned in his life of darkness. And he took seriously what he heard as he picked it up, maybe as people passed by or as they gathered at the well or gathered at the marketplace. And he begins to put all those things together that he's hearing, all that wonderful information that he's gathering. He begins to put it together. You know, perhaps on one occasion, he heard people passing by and they were saying, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, he healed a blind man. He put some mud on the man's eyes and then he told him to go off and wash himself in the pool of Siloam. And the man came back and he was seeing. Maybe he's hearing all these things as people pass by. And then one day, as he sat by the road, just as he had sat every day, he hears this great commotion as a large crowd approaches. What's happening, he asks. It's Jesus of Nazareth, he's told. And his heart begins to thump. This is the one that heals the lepers. This is the one who heals the blind. This is the one who has made the dead to rise again. He's the one who casts out demons and makes the blind to see. And when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And what did he shout? Well, he didn't mutter. He didn't mumble under his breath. He shouted long and he shouted loud. And what did he shout? He shouted, Jesus! That was the first words from his lips. Jesus. Now that was the name given to the newborn Jesus, by the messenger of God when he was born at Bethlehem, and is not right. Matthew chapter 1:21. You shall call his name what? You shall call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. You shall call his name Jesus because that name speaks so eloquently of who this one is and why the Father sent him into the world. It means Savior. And Bartimaeus shouts, Savior. He shouts, Jesus. Bartimaeus wanted the attention of the Savior. But he said something else, didn't he? He shouts, Jesus, Son of David. You see, Bartimaeus knew something of King David. And Bartimaeus knew that God had made promises to King David. And you know what those promises were? Well, one of those promises in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 and 13. God says to David, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers. In other words, David's going to be dead when this happens. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You see, Bartimaeus had heard all the stories about Jesus, and he added them to his knowledge that he had of the Scriptures and about King David and the promises that had been made concerning David. And thus, friends, by the entrance of God's Word, light and truth began to dawn upon blind Bartimaeus. Who was this Savior? Who was this great Savior? It was the Messiah, the one that God had promised to come through King David's line. This is great David's greater son. Why, what honor did he give to the Lord Jesus Christ when he addressed him like that? Yes, King David was a great king. But here is a greater one who had come from David's loins. This is the Messiah. This is the one that the prophets had foretold. And he shouts, Jesus, Son of David. But he says more than that, doesn't he? He says, have mercy on me. You see, Bartimaeus saw that he was a guilty man, not a victim to be pitied. He took responsibility for his own sin, his self-pity, his pride, his lust, his greed, his short temper, his contempt, his jealousy. All his sins that he has as a blind man and is guilty of. And he knew that the one before him who was passing by was the only one who could show him mercy. That's why he calls out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And let me ask you, have you ever asked Jesus to have mercy on you? And I'm not just talking to the adults here, I'm talking to some of you children also. Have you ever asked Jesus to have mercy on you? If not, you have never seen your sin, and you're still living in the folly of blindness. Have you, with your eyes, seen what Bartimaeus, without his eyes, could see? You know, you think it's terrible to be blind. Think it's terrible to be deaf. Think it's terrible to be dumb. But friends, better to be blind and see in your heart the truth than to have two eyes and see absolutely nothing. Better to be deaf and hear in your mind the voice of the living God speaking to your soul than to have 2 ears and hear nothing. My friend, ask God to have mercy on you. Cry and keep crying and keep calling like Bartimaeus. Be persistent. Keep calling until you know that God has heard you. Keep calling even though some may even try to stop you, because it's not what happened to Bartimaeus. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he carried on all the more shouting. Some people will say, you know, you don't have to, you know, be too interested in all this religion. Well, you follow Bartimaeus' example here. You keep crying until you are sure that God has called you. Here is this man, he's blind, he's calling out to Jesus, and he's little encouragement from the people of Jericho. Keep quiet, they say. You've been looking at John Bunyan on Sunday morning with the children. Bunyan pictures a Christian with that burden upon his back, and he gets little encouragement from the folks in the town of Graceless, isn't that right? He gets little encouragement from his friends or his family. And that's how it is with a lot of people when they're being challenged about their state before God. They get little encouragement. Doesn't Bunyan say that close to that little wicket gate, Satan had built a tower and from which he fired darts at those who were trying to get in? And Bartimaeus didn't stop. If others don't know the misery of blindness, Bartimaeus did. And he wasn't going to be silenced. What encouragement did he have to keep shouting? He had the encouragement of an Old Testament prophet called Joel. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, if you would be saved, mark well what Bartimaeus did, and you do exactly what he did. There comes a time when you need steel in your backbone. And you need to leave the place that you live. You need to be determined that each Sunday, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to sit under the sound of the ministry of the Word of God. And you're going to have to tell your friends and your families that is where you're going to be, because that is where, you know, the Word of God is being proclaimed. And you know that you need to be saved because you're alienated from God. And you're going to keep coming and you're going to keep listening to the Word of God until that Word strikes home to your heart. And there will be no shortage of people who will tell you maybe that you're too young to be caught up in all this religion. Or maybe in the other extreme, you're too old, you're past it. Some folks will tell you that you're taking things too seriously. You don't need to pray as much. You don't need to be too pernickety about Sundays. You don't need to be anxious about your soul. Well, my friend, pay no attention to such people. They are blind inhabitants of the folly of the blind. Bartimaeus would not be silenced. And he knew what to shout. He shouted, "Jesus." He shouted, "Savior, have mercy on me." Jesus is passing by. It's now or never. And so it may well be with you. It may be now or never. What do the words of that clock say? The words of that clock say, time is short. Now is the accepted time. The words of that clock say, behold, now is the day of salvation. What is the Lord's response? We are told, now listen to this. So Jesus stood still. That's marvelous. Friends, that's remarkable. Jesus stopped. That's what it means. Jesus stopped. You say, why is that so truly amazing? Because the cries of a poor, worthless man were enough to cause the Creator of the universe to stop in his tracks. You see, Jesus is time for him. What lay before Jesus was the cross. Within a matter of 10 days, he's going to be betrayed and crucified. He had all that on his heart, but he stood still. The Creator of the universe stood still when he heard a sinner call out to him. You see how that's just a little window in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, he's alive today, and he's alive today in a far more exalted state and fashion than what he was when he was here on earth, when his deity was filled. And in heaven today, he hears the constant hosannas from the heavenly host. He hears the worship of the church militant here on earth. And yet, he is instantly attentive to your cry. What are you crying from the heart this evening? Do you realize that the God of the universe, the God who holds all things in the palm of his hands, will hear the cry of your heart, and he will stop, as it were, and he will be attentive to your cry. Just as he was attentive to the cry of Bartimaeus. And so we are told, after he stood still, they called him. They called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. Cheer up, Bartimaeus. Were these the same people who seconds before were telling them to shut up? Shut up. Cheer up. So similar. Yet a world of difference between the two. The difference between despair and hope lie in those two exhortations. Cheer up. He's calling you. You know, friends, certain opportunities just come once in a lifetime. And Bartimaeus knew that this was one of them. Don't know if I mentioned it to you, but I remember well that Christmas Eve night in 1980 when I was saved. Somehow I knew that this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And if Christ passed by that night, I would never be saved. Don't know if you would agree with that. But boy, I felt it that night. If I don't get saved tonight, I will never be saved. Jesus is passing by. And Bartimaeus realized it also. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And what does he do? He throws his garment aside. He arises and he comes to Jesus. And friends, that's salvation. He came to Jesus. It's as simple as that. Look at the question that Jesus asked. What do you want me to do for you? You know, all the questions in the Bible that God asks men seem to be so naive, don't they? Beginning with that first question that God asked in the Garden of Eden, Adam, where are you? We looked at that at the house party, didn't we? It wasn't just God looking for information. It was God eliciting from Adam a response, an admission of guilt. But all these questions that God asks, they're all deceptively simple. And here was the very heart of the matter. What does this man want from the creator of the universe? Why, Bartimaeus, why have you called on me? Why had a blind beggar shouted out to the king of the universe? What do you want me to do? Is that what Jesus is saying to you this evening? What do you want me to do for you? A real person? Made by God? Made for God? Come on, express yourself to God now. Come on, stop the blarney. What would you have God do for you? Stop beating about the bush. Speak from your heart with judgment day honesty. God, as it were, comes to you this evening through His Word, and He says, what do you want me to do for you? What are you saying? Give me a new house. Give me a new car. Give me health. Give me long life. Most people have good health. Most people do have a long life. You can work toward a house and a car. Is that all you can think of? Just material trinkets. You have a soul that will never die. What do you want God to do for you? Come on, think eternally. Look at Bartimaeus' reply. That I may receive my sight. No stammering. No stuttering. No having to think about it. Teacher, I want my sight. As simple as that. And what was Jesus' response? Go your way, your faith has made you well. What Bartimaeus wanted had been done. And now he can go. Go. Your faith has made you well. He trusted himself to Jesus of Nazareth. Shouldn't we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Isn't it wickedness not to believe? The Christ of the Bible and all His loveliness and all the loveliness of His character and the flagrant beauty of His personality, the conqueror of death, the one who died and rose again on the third day, the one who lives in the lives of all of those who have received Him. Why shouldn't anyone refuse to trust Him? What moral reason, what ethical explanation can you give for rejecting the Lamb of God? He who was blind saw. And the first thing that he saw was the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of us who behold His face now by faith, those of us who are believers, well, we know that there's going to come a day when we'll depart from this world and we'll see what Bartimaeus saw. We will see in glory the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking forward to that, Christian? Seeing the face of your Savior. You know, when we first met Bartimaeus in this study this evening, he's sitting by the side of a road begging. Like so many of you, marginalized men and women, spiritually poor, spiritually blind. But look at the end of the story. What a difference now. He's not sitting on the side of the road. He's on the road. And he's following Jesus along the road. And he follows Jesus to the cross. And he would see for himself the blood of the Son of God. He'll see the one who gave up his life so that Bartimaeus could receive new life. Now let me ask you, friend, is your heart moved? Come on, is your heart moved this evening? Do you feel drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ? In fact, do you feel like you're being pulled apart? Satan telling you to be quiet? Satan telling you not to respond? Satan telling you that these longings and these convictions, it's all just emotionalism? My friend, don't listen to him. You know you are a sinner. That's fact. That's not emotionalism. Is God calling you tonight? Well, don't delay in coming. What if this is your last chance? Don't go on admiring Jesus and the people that follow Jesus while being uncommitted yourself. Don't go on torn between two opinions. Cry out to Jesus now, Son of Mercy, Son of David, have mercy on me, and he will receive you. Come on, cheer up. Get on your feet. You, a sinner, heading to hell, Jesus says, come and I will give you life. Does that not give you a reason to be hopeful? It's the same Jesus tonight. It's the same heart that pitied Bartimaeus, that caused him to stop on the road to Jericho, is here tonight. And he's calling. Will you not go to him? Will you not confess your sin? If he says to you, what you want me to do for you, will you not say, Lord, forgive me my sin. Make me a new creature. Give me a new life to start with because I've messed up big time. And he will give you that new life. He'll give you a brand new life to start with. Clean slate. Why die in your sins? When there is such a glorious Savior so near tonight. Come on, be as wise as this blind man. You understand this tonight. Turn from your sin. Why are you determined to go to hell? Turn from your sin. Why are you determined to continue living a living hell on earth? Turn to him. Why will you perish? Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus of Nazareth is passing by this evening. And he can save you if you but call on to him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.